Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting. We are broadcasting live. It is 8:06 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And yes, we had some technical difficulties to start the show this week because, you know, what would it be without some technical difficulties? That's just how we got to roll right now. Thank you so much to everyone for hanging out with us. This is going to be an absolutely fantastic program that we have lined up for all of you. It is open right now, our hotline, 437-375-2000. You can text us. You can send us a message. You can WhatsApp us. Send us your thoughts, your feedback, your questions for tonight's amazing guest. Archives of this show are always available on all podcast providers, including Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and so many, many more. And of course, you can always see the video archives of this show on godfathersofpodcasting.com. Hello, everyone. It's episode 103. My name is Donnie DeSilva, and while one third of the crew appears to be absent this week, it is still my extreme pleasure to introduce the A-Train to my homelander, because if you're not watching The Boys on Prime, what are you even watching? This is my sib from another crib, my dude from another brood, my relation from a different nation, my brother from another mother. This is Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell.
Is it just me, or have we seen enough male butt this season on The Boys?
It's been a lot of butt.
There's been a lot of naked man ass this season on The Boys. There's a whole lot. And not one boob. Not one female boob. Like,
the man ass quotient has definitely increased for season 3.
Yes. Yes. This new season has been out of control. The way it started off. Now we're killing people with deadly hamsters and sex toys. And it's just, wow. If you thought they couldn't outdo themselves after last season, they certainly did. So I applaud the fine folks over at that are doing The Boys and everybody that does a boy. Hey, what can I say? Yeah.
It's a fun show if you've never checked it out. Superheroes when superheroes go bad is essentially the premise if you've never watched
it. It's kind of like, you know, if superheroes were us.
Just normal folk?
Yeah, just normal dudes, you know what I mean? With really, like, normal problems, normal mental issues, like, you know what I mean? Normal fetishes, normal everything. Like, it's just, but hey, they got these things that they can shoot lasers out of their eyes and talk to fish and, you know, whatever else it is that they do. So it's,
yeah. And as relatable as Marvel always tries to make their superheroes, this is a different flex, right? Like, The Boys, if you've never watched it, and shame on you, it always reminds me of that song from the 90s by the Crash Test Dummies, Superman. You know, Superman never made any money. And he could have crashed into any bank in the United States and he could have gotten rich, but he didn't. But Homelander will.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Homelander is essentially an evil ass Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, they've got a doppelganger for him. You know what I mean? Mm. So who knows? We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm pretty excited. Who do you think the next one to die is going to be, though?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know. Do you have a pick?
Do you think it's Deep or A-Train?
I mean, I feel like A-Train's had a weird sort of journey on the show, right? He's out, he's in, he's out, he's in. But Deep, I don't know. Deep, I almost feel like if he dies, it's going to be suicide.
And what's the deal with his girlfriend?
What's the deal with Deep's girlfriend? Jerry
Seinfeld mode. Well, not
what's
really.
What's the funny deal with Deep's girlfriend? So that's what's up. For those of you wondering, our bro Dano is away this week. He's got stuff going on. He will be back on the program next week. I know he is disappointed not to be hanging out with our guest tonight, who's one of his favorites on the show. We will be joined a little bit later on by Hal Johnson, legendary Canadian broadcaster. We'll be on. If you have questions for Hal or questions for us, you can text us at 437-375-2000. And as I say that, Tid, I just realized that the number is not up on the screen.
Well, so, that's typical. I mean, you should probably fire the producer or the engineer, whoever it is that you left in charge of that. I'm sure it's the same person.
I think that's a great idea. That guy's done. Right. Okay, there we go. It's up on the screen. You can text us. You can WhatsApp us, 437-375-2000 for anybody who is watching live right now. If you are checking out an archive of this program, join us live next time. Go to thegodfathersofpodcasting.com, find out when we're live next. And it's really, really simple. You can just be part of the fun. So all kinds of stuff in the news this week, Tid. There's a few things I wanted to throw at you. I know that, you know, before the show, we often talk about a couple of different things and we sort of go back and forth. You want to talk about this? You want to talk about that? I found a couple stories that I didn't actually run by you first, but you know what? I always like putting you on the spot and shit.
You know what? Fuck you.
Yeah, you know what? Go fuck yourself. This one I think you're going to have an opinion on. Hollywood producer Jason Blum. He's the same guy that negotiated the big screen return of Halloween and The Exorcist. He recently said in an interview he could get Robert Englund to come back for another Nightmare on Elm Street, either a sequel or a reboot. England has said since the last chapter of the series back in 2010, he felt then that he was too old to play Freddy Krueger, and he certainly feels too old now at the age of 75. Bloom says, you know, he got the woman from Exorcist to come back, and she was like 85, so Robert's young. He's not worried about the age factor whatsoever. There is currently no plan for a Nightmare on Elm Street project, but let me ask you, where there's smoke, there's fire. Is there something here?
I mean, listen, I hope not. I think that, you know,
I'm Robert shocked Englund, to hear you say that.
I think that to have Robert Englund come back would just sully the legend of him and what he did with that character. You know what I mean? It was certainly different when they brought in somebody else to play the part. Now, don't get me wrong. The guy, I forget his name right now, the guy who played him. Yeah, I loved him as an actor in the Bad News Bears. He was great. You know what
but
I mean?
He ain't no Freddy Krueger.
But he's not Robert Englund. There's no doubt about it. So, I mean, but what do you bring back an aged, you know, Freddy Krueger to do? What is he? Is he like killing insomniacs at the old folks' home? Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, it could be a complete reboot, right? So it could be the original story, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1, rebooted with modern sensibilities, modern editing, and, you know, some twists on the story. We've
Johnny
seen this
Depp in it.
Maybe. He's not doing anything else right now.
I mean, he does have a thing for beds right now, and those scenes could make him a little bit of extra dough. Ray me, you know what I'm saying?
I know you're a Jason guy, but
no, I love the big.
You love
five.
The genre.
You know what I mean?
You love the genre.
Freddy. I mean, Jason's my dude. Jason, Michael, Freddy, Chucky, Pinhead. Right. You know, I am down with all of that stuff, and I appreciate Freddy Krueger and everything he did that Robert Englund did as Freddy Krueger. But yeah, it just wasn't there for me with the last renditions of it. And I think that to bring back an aged Robert Englund to do it nowadays might be, it might be tough, but I mean,
he looks good for his age, man.
Than Freddy Krueger.
Right. And I say, if you're going to do it fast.
I mean, and the power of magic when filming could always make it, you know, very interesting to see. So, now I'm torn. Yeah.
I want to see it, dude. It's my favorite horror franchise ever. I want to see it. Yeah, it really is. And it always has been. I've been Freddy Krueger for Halloween more times than I can remember. And unlike some of the others, like with Jason, who I love, and with like Michael Myers, like you could pretty much put anyone under those masks. You know, you really could, as long as they get
they've
switched those guys out so many times, and as long as they get the general mannerisms, like the first Michael Myers wasn't even an actor. You know, he was just some guy hanging around.
Sure. But so, I mean, there's something different about Kane Hodder, you know, playing the role than somebody else. You know what I mean?
Sure, just there like is.
There's something different
for
about,
the hardcore, you know, fans or something different.
Doug Bradley being Pinhead than anybody else that they used in all of the Hellraiser movies.
But you know Robert what I mean? England,
steady and true all the way through.
Yeah. And he really made that character special, right? He gave it a dark humor quality that you wouldn't expect to see in a movie like that. He gave it like a creepy perversion, like every single choice was just genius. I want to see it. Please, if you're out there, Jason Blum, make it happen. Also from the world of Hollywood, story that we did not talk about ahead of time, Austin Butler. Austin Butler is a tremendous young actor who is playing the titular character. I love saying that word, titular. He's the titular character in the new Elvis movie.
Nothing to do with boobs.
You don't know that. He's playing the titular character in the new Elvis movie. He plays Elvis Presley. Okay. And I don't even think, maybe you can Google it while I'm saying this, I don't even think the freaking movie's come out yet. And fans are tearing Austin Butler apart. Like, this guy sucks. He's terrible. He doesn't even look like Elvis. He doesn't sound like Elvis. They could have got a Vegas impersonator. Would have been better. All this kind of hate. I don't even think these people have seen the movie yet. Well, TMZ caught up with Elvis's widow, his ex-wife, Priscilla Presley. Okay. And they said, what do you think of all this? This hate that he's getting on the internet. And she said, are they crazy? Like, Austin has done a tremendous job. And the people that think he doesn't look like Elvis, sound like Elvis, they didn't know Elvis the way I knew Elvis. He looks and sounds like Elvis.
I mean, she knew Elvis like intimately. So that's kind of creepy if she's saying the same thing about this kid, though, isn't it?
In other news, Priscilla Presley and Austin Butler are now dating.
June 24th, it says it comes out. So that's kind of a coincidence that all of these bad reviews would be coming out at the same time to try to get people that are kind of on the fence to be, you know, which way they want to go. Everybody's going to want to see this movie. There's no doubt.
I'm seeing it. I don't give a shit. To me,
this kid doesn't even know who fucking Elvis was, except, you know what I mean? He is not old enough to know anything about Elvis. Hell, I barely am. So, like, to try to be able to go in there and do that role, kudos to this kid for being able to do it in the first place. You know what I mean? So
apparently he's a total method actor, and people have said that since the filming ended,
he's a meth head actor.
Correct. They're saying he hasn't been able to shake the Elvis voice. He's still doing it every day.
It's got to go out the leg. Did somebody tell him that? It's got to go out. You got to shake it out. You got to shake it out the leg. I mean, holy fuck. I was just putting this kid over. Now all of a sudden he doesn't know the Elvis. Like, that's how it happens all the time. Elvis was just like, you know, channeling a bunch of soul brothers that he ripped all their music off of. And to get it out, he had to shake it out the leg. So in other words, this kid's got to shake the Elvis out the leg to get back to the real world. Apparently
he's got a case of the Elvises.
That's what I'm saying.
If this movie is even halfway decent, I think this guy's going to win himself an Oscar like Rami Malek did when he portrayed Freddie Mercury. You know, like, he's maybe not an Oscar, but a Golden Globe or something. He's going to win something if this movie is even halfway decent. Because what I've seen in the trailers, he nails Elvis. I don't know what all this hate is. I think people just like to hate shit.
Do you think he'll be better than Machine Gun Kelly playing Tommy Lee in the Motley Crue movie? Because that was a thing too, right?
It was a thing. Yeah. Yes, I think he will be better than Machine Gun Kelly. Right. Is that a controversial statement?
I don't know. Maybe it is nowadays. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Well, nowadays it might be, right?
Throwing out another story for you. A couple years ago, people on the internet were shocked, dismayed, beside themselves when they saw videos that had emerged of 8-year NBA pro Delonte West. And Delonte was apparently homeless and panhandling, begging for change on the streets. And people are like, how is this even possible? This guy made $16 million during his 8-year NBA career. Well, when this video emerged, several times, actually, it came out over the course of several months, several different versions of the video. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban came forward and said, hey, we got a spot for the former Maverick. We'll interview him as a coach, you know, as one of the assistants, work with the guys. Apparently that interview didn't go very well, so he never got offered a position. Then Ice Cube came forward and said, hey, Delonte, come try out for the Big Three, which is a league that Ice Cube owns. It's a basketball league, 3-on-3, half court. It's fun. It's comprised of a bunch of former NBA players, and they make money. So Ice Cube said, come try out. West was a really good NBA player. He didn't make the cut. Now, they do have a ton of talented guys in the Big Three, but he didn't make the cut. And just yesterday, a new video has surfaced of Delonte West on the streets begging for change. It really is sad to see. People are asking him, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm just between jobs right now. And, you know, I got to support my kids. So, you know, I'm asking for money.
I mean, that's the best time. That's the best time to be out there asking for change is when you're between jobs.
Yeah, like, don't do it when you have a job.
Right? Because you're probably going to get fired.
Yeah, you won't have a job anymore.
Supposed to be at work. Remember when Lamar Odom was, you know, having a moment and a breakdown in the public eye, know what I mean? And everybody was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. This seems to be, in my opinion, even worse than that, because this has been going on for far too long. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know what kind of help that he needs, but like, I hope it happens soon for him, because somebody's going to run him over. Somebody's going to try to go him, because they're going to recognize who he is, and he's going to have a good little hat full of change there one day. You know what I mean? And it's not going to end well. And this guy's, I mean, he's still a big enough dude that if he cracks somebody, you know, he's going to find himself in prison. And then what's that life like? Like, it's a downward spiral if he doesn't figure something out. So if there's people out there, you know, that can get in touch with him, get him some help, please do so.
Delonte was a guy who suffered pretty publicly from mental health issues. And Mark Cuban had said, you know, we'll get him the help he needs. Even if we can't get him a job, we'll get him the help he needs. And he apparently, Delonte, refused any kind of mental health treatment, which speaks
to... Does the NBA have a like after, like for, you know, once you're retired, have one of those like care systems, you know, for like addiction and stuff like that, the same way that like the WWE had for the longest time in the NFL?
It's a great question. There is a pension program, but I don't know that there is those types of services, because drug abuse and that sort of thing has never been really prevalent in the NBA. It's not a steroid league. It was a cocaine league all through the 70s and 80s, but that's been cleaned up. I don't know. That's a great question.
It's absolutely a steroid league, dude. You know what? You're talking about giants that are, using them right, not abusing steroids, using them right when they've got injuries, because that happens a lot, and they're going to, you know what I mean? So, I mean,
maybe if stuff's prescribed, like some GH or something,
that's what I'm saying.
Injuries, but I'll tell you, every NBA player I've ever talked to has said PEDs are not really a thing in the NBA. Like they are.
No,
in some
because
other
they're sport. Already giants.
But you know what, while we're talking about this, I'm going to text our friend Gary Trent, former NBA player who was on the show last week. I'm going to text him and say, hey, do you know if the NBA has any kind of like substance abuse program for vets? I'm curious to know. The sad part too about Delonte West is, and he often is like a part of all these like goofy memes, nothing to do with him begging for change, nothing to do with his homelessness. But when Delonte West was a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers, he essentially blackballed himself from the NBA by pissing off the king. He pissed off LeBron James because he was dating / sleeping with LeBron's mom. And then all these stories started coming around like, hey, LeBron, Delonte is your daddy, and like all this kind of shit. And there's memes everywhere, like Happy Father's Day, and it's Delonte with his arm around LeBron. And, you know, LeBron didn't like that very much. The rumor has always been LeBron got Delonte cut from the Cavaliers, and his career quickly went downhill after that. You know, whether or not that's true, who the hell knows? It's always been the story that's been out there. Regardless, I hope Delonte West does get some help. And yeah, if you're someone listening to this and you know how to reach him, let's work together and see what we can do for this guy.
100%.
Also, what do you think about this, Tid?
Little.
Oh. Gronk.
Yeah.
Retired again.
Bullshit.
Nope. How many times has this guy retired? Is this twice or three times?
Seven times he's retired. This is what he did last time, and then he decided to come back, after Brady said he was coming back. But you know what? Maybe this one is for real, because Brady's already back.
Right. You know Brady's back this
Brady's,
time.
Brady's back. He's playing one more, and then he's going to go do broadcasting for just as much money. It's actually ridiculous.
Gronk is 33 years old now. That feels old for a tight end. Am I wrong?
I mean, I've been around a few tight ends that were a little bit older than that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I mean, you're old. How's your end? Is it tight?
I mean, it doesn't like the doctor's finger, I'll tell you that much.
But it likes everything else.
I never said it didn't.
Just your doctor's an asshole, that's all.
Whoa, can't go. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Rob Gronkowski, one of the best tight ends ever, right?
Oh, absolutely, bar
but
none.
A total like, attention is... whore.
It's you. I mean, rightfully so. When you are at that level, you know what I mean? And he's one of the greatest to do it at that level for his position. I mean, you know, yes, did he put on an arm brace because his elbow was hurting? Yes, absolutely. Yes, did he Cowboy Bob Orton that thing and leave it the cast on forever and ever and ever because it turned into a gimmick? I 100% believe so. You know, rumor had it that it was so that his grandma knew who he was out on the field, I guess. Who knows? I hope that Gronk does retire. I hope that at that age, with that kind of money and those connections that he's got, I mean, he's got a full lifetime ahead of himself still, you know what I mean? To do whatever he wants off of the millions of dollars that he made in football. And don't kid yourself. He's such a character that he'll still make money off of his likeness for a long time.
Breaking news. Literally just came across the wire. Toronto Maple Leafs star forward Austin Matthews just won the Hart Trophy as the league's most valuable player. Congratulations.
Bret Hart Trophy. Good job.
Bret Hart Trophy. for the guy most awkward, for the most awkward runner ever. That's the Bret Hart Trophy.
For being the second best out of his family.
Bret Hart. As an athlete, is the most unathletic athlete I've ever known in my life.
I wonder if I wonder, like, with those ankles, do you think Brett can skate?
No.
Do you think he ever did? You think you like? I don't
know.
You
know what I mean? He didn't play hockey.
I don't know if I know. Yeah, no.
He did played he? Football a little bit. You know who does play everything is our guest this week. And ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the big hello. And this week's guest is making his record-setting fourth appearance on this program. And for parts of five decades, he and his lovely wife, Joanne, have been the faces of fitness, for Canadians. The Body Break series of shorts ran for years and encouraged us all to take care of our physical and mental health. In the past, on this show, you have learned about this man, that he was actually born in Philadelphia before moving to Toronto. You've also learned that he was captain of his baseball, basketball, and football teams in high school before attending the University of Colorado on a full ride as a baseball player. And you've also learned in the past on this show that he met his wife and broadcast partner at the gym while she was using the pec deck, and they had a glass of wine on their first date because they were both unaware that neither of them drank, and it was the last time either of them have had a drop of alcohol. You also learned that he originally grew his iconic mustache while a member of Team Canada over in Japan, and he decided to shave it because he didn't want to look gray. I thought that the mustache had made a comeback, but I can see that it is not there, which sparks all kinds of other questions. What will we learn about this man this week? Let's find out. Ladies and gentlemen, he likes to keep fit and have fun. Give it up for our pal, Hal Johnson.
Hi, how's it going? I guess I'm dumb enough to be on here four times. I guess that's the really the bottom line to everything. And
hold on, I've been doing it every week. What does that make me, Hal?
Yeah. It speaks for itself.
Yeah. Well, Danny O is not here, and the third Godfather is disappointed he could not be present this week, Hal. He had a prior commitment, but he wanted to extend his best. Obviously, he's a huge fan of yours. And
Danny O is the only reason I'm on. Like, I guess it's over now. Well, eh? It's like,
good night.
Night. See ya.
it's always a pleasure to have you on. You're one of our favorite guests around here. And it's always a good time. So thank you again. I know you're busy. Every time I'm texting back and forth with Hal, or he picks up the phone and gives me a call, or I give him a call. It's like, hey, what are you up to? Oh, I'm in Alaska. Oh, I'm on my way to, I don't know, some other tropical location. Not that Alaska's tropical, but you're also off to different tropical locations. I feel like you've put in a lot of miles this past year. Am I crazy?
No, well, it's really just the last couple of months. I went to Hawaii for a couple of weeks, and then, as soon as the government said that it's okay to travel, we just jumped on a plane and went everywhere. So it's
like, don't have to tell us twice.
That's right. So they said, it's okay. Okay. I'm gone. So the Alaska trip was a last minute thing. And so we just, a friend of Joanne was going to go on a cruise, and we hadn't been on a cruise for about 10 years. And I think people are eating even more now on cruises than they're making up for their lost cruise time at the buffet. It was funny because I went into the gym and I worked out every day, and there was no lineups in the gym. Like, there was no lineup to get on the treadmill or the elliptical or the bike. But, you know, you get in that buffet line, and the people can make it in there. Boy, they're dedicated to that buffet line. No question.
I mean, yeah, it's tough, right? But is it?
What's tough? Eating?
No, I think it's tough. Like,
trying to keep people's attention on a cruise like that. You know what I mean? Like, they think it's kind of set up for just a vacation of gluttony. You're kind of trapped on, you know what I mean? A lot of people feel like they're just trapped on this city on the water. So I don't really know what to do. And I don't want to do the things that I do at home, which is things like, you know, maybe go to the gym, go for a run, or, you know what I mean? So the only thing that they want to do is just eat and drink and be gluttonous as much as possible. Do you think, like, Have you thought about it while you were there? You were like, maybe this is a new venture where I can get a lot of cruises in, right? And have classes on these boats for some of these people, but have the cruise people like pay for it. And then you just spend a couple of years on a boat.
No, what I had actually thought about is what I was doing it. I thought, because our YouTube channel, we're you know, doing more things on that and whatever. And I thought, what about active vacations? And then doing cruises where you go actively. So, for example, when we went to Alaska, we put on a lot of mileage in terms of our step counters and everything like that. I did 370 flights of stairs. So on the ship in the week, we did I did 370 flights. So we never take the elevator. So you go from the third floor to the 12th floor to the sixth floor, back up to the 14th floor. We're always on the stairs. And so that, because I was feeling guilty because I had a couple of pieces of pie, some ice cream, you know, things that I don't normally eat. I was having it there. And so it was kind of, it was fun for that. But, you know, I worked out with it. But what it really showed me, it was interesting, the lack of mobility that people have. They're just so immobile, essentially, partly because of their weight. And I had a woman come up to me. I was in the sky. We went on Celebrity Cruise Lines. I don't think they're going to send me a free cruise or anything like that, but we were on Celebrity, and this woman came up to me. I was sitting there looking at the beautiful glaciers and so forth, and she recognized me, we were the same age, 66, and she was drinking some kind of hard liquor that was kind of bourbon type of thing about 4 or 5 ounces of it. And she's sipping it and talking to me, telling me how she should get into better condition. And she said, well, you know, drinking occasionally is fine. I said, well, occasionally, but that what you're having right now is quite a bit from a caloric perspective. And I don't think it was the first time that she'd ever had that much alcohol. So it was really something that, you know, people know what they should be doing, but the motivation and the understanding that it's going to catch up to you. It's eventually it will catch up to you. And you choose when that day is, whether you're 50, whether you're 70, whether you're 80, it's up to you when that's going to often. And it's genetics obviously plays an important role as well. But it was very sad, I felt, seeing so many people that had such a lack of mobility in their life. I mean, but, you know, they could get in the scooter and get up to that get up to the buffet line. I called it. It's funny, friends of ours that we went with a couple of couples. And, you know, I was usually in bed by 11:30, and they said, oh, Hal, if you stay up, the buffet is open from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. So I called that a feeding. So it was like another feeding for the people, because I thought, if you're chowing down at 12:30 at night, you've either got the munchies and you're not allowed to take marijuana on the ship. And so you've either got the munchies or you're really you've had enough. Like there's no reason to be eating at 1 a.m. A plate of whatever it might be. So
unless your day starts at noon,
which does not exist in Hal Johnson's world.
Well, so I mean, you got to be. It's like they've resorted to being, you know, infants that have to be fed like constantly as the day goes, or they'll start crying.
What was that cartoon? That Wally? Was that the one where all the people on the ship just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they were on these floating chairs and just, you know, with just like enough rest for their big sodas and everything like that, and didn't have to even move around? Like, it's crazy. How important, Hal, is sleep with your you know, workout regimen, with your fitness stuff, and not just sleep? Like, I mean, like, you know, because you have light sleep, heavy sleep, and REM sleep. Like, where do people want to be?
I don't know if I want to hear this answer, because I don't sleep, but go ahead and lecture me.
No, I got one of these little things that just reminds me all the time of how much I don't sleep.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. Like, I'm exhausted right now. Not from working out or whatever. I'm just like really, really tired. And the reason I'm tired, and I didn't shave, but I thought I was on with you guys. So I wanted to fit in without shaving, kind of being in. I usually shave. I'm almost always shave for my interviews. But sleep is so important. And for example, when we flew back from Vancouver yesterday, our flight was delayed by a half hour. And then it was delayed 4 hours and 6 hours. So we didn't leave Vancouver till 4 a.m. And so we didn't sleep all Sunday night, didn't sleep at all. Arrived in the afternoon in Toronto on Monday, and got a, but now you're way off. And now I'm didn't sleep much last night. So I'm doing the interview and then off to bed, because it is so, so important. And also when you're on vacation, that's another thing why you think you're tired so much, because you're out of your routine, you're out of your habit. And so you don't really sleep. That's why oftentimes people say, I need a vacation for when I get back from my vacation. You know, it's really, that's one of the things that, you know, you feel like. And, you know, like sleep is huge. It's a big thing. If I would, you know, obviously you got to move, you got to get sleep, and you got to, you know, eat properly. It's a very simple process. And, you know, we've partnered with Action Water. This is a partner of ours now, Action Water. And we've partnered with them to talk a lot about hydration with people. So we've did a commercial about 2 months ago with them. And then we're doing another commercial next month with Action Water to promote people getting active. And when you're active, you've got to hydrate yourself. And this is water's got 9.5 pH. High alkaline, which helps combat an acidic diet. So it's something that, you know, athletes use, and it's really important. So that's one of the things that, you know, we do to, you know, kind of combine different elements and different things is make sure that you're hydrated quite a bit.
Is that the same way? That the same way, like with apple cider vinegar, right? To go from the acidic to alkaline, or alkaline to acidic, or whatever it is.
Right. Like, what happens is a lot of our diet is acidic. There's a lot of acid in, like, for example, coffee is very acidic to your system. So there's a balance. So if you have a pool, for example, or a hot tub, you understand the alkalinity, that you have to have a balance. If it's too acidic, it's bad. If a lot of bacteria create, have too much alkaline in it, it's not good at all. There's a balance between that. And so it's usually around, you know, 7.5 to 8. But our diet is so heavily acidic, we've got to kind of boost it up. And the way you boost it up is with different things. And this Action Water does it, and it has 9.5 a pH in it, which helps boost your alkalinity up. So if you're drinking a coffee, it's good, or something, or a tea that's going to bring your more acidic into your diet, more acid in your diet, it's good to boost it up with something else. And hydration is number one as well. So that's really, it's a great fit for us. So that was one of the things that we, you know, we often look at whenever we, you know, do sponsorship deals and so forth. How does it fit with the Body Break brand? And if it doesn't fit, we don't go near it. So this was a great fit for us.
I tried other alkaline water products in the past. I'll definitely be trying this one. I know for Tid, he just wants to know, with all this hydration, is a cannabis infused water still acceptable?
But it's not part of the Action Water line. But maybe it should be.
And have you adopted, think about this, have you adopted the way that Fat Farm went with theirs, right? Only you can have Fit with the pH in the front of it, right? Because it's the pH water, so it's Fit water, right? I'm just saying, you can send that 10% over any time, Hal.
Make it feel. I love it. Yeah, listen, man, I get everything you're saying in terms of the people on the cruise that are not keeping up their routine, or maybe they don't have a routine to begin with. But we just had a text message that came in from a listener, 437-375-2000. It says, does Hal ever actually just vacation? Forget about working out, eat a freaking brownie, you know, not worry about bedtime, party with his wife like it's 1999.
Well, you know what? I'm surprised.
Do you ever just unplug and not work out for a day?
Well, you know, I'm surprised. Actually, you have listeners. Like, yeah, like
that. Wow.
I do. Okay. Well, you know, it's funny because that's our mindset. But on the one hand, you're like, I was, you know, having a brownie with ice cream, which was a treat for us. Our apple pie or the apple crumble was really, really good. I had that one day. But if you, I look at it this way, is that our life is really like an hourglass, and the sands of time are ticking. And there is going to be a certain point in time when I won't be able to do physically do the things that I can do now. I had a very good friend of mine, Edgar Ware, and Edgar and I played golf all the time. He was a Vietnam veteran, and he wasn't a great golfer, but a great guy. But we golfed together all the time, like hundreds of times a year. It was like Edgar and I would always play together, and we would always walk the course. And Edgar got Parkinson's because he was in World War II. He got Agent Orange and got Parkinson's disease, and he died 3 months ago from it. But he fought it like a warrior, and he walked the course with me even in his late stages of Parkinson's. As much as he literally shuffled along, and he did it. And so it was funny watching these people in golf carts going. And Edgar was a true warrior. And he said, you know, it'd be a lot easier to do it in a cart, but I want to push through this. And to the day where he could not walk the course and he had to use a cart. But he remembers the days that he loved walking the course with me. And so I remember that. I think of that when, you know, those times that you want to take the easy road out. You go, you know what? I just make it easy for me. Take the elevator, make it easy for me. Because there one day I won't be able to go up those stairs, perhaps.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I'm coming from, is that if I do it now, how much it'll allow me to do it even longer in my life. And that's what I want to do. So to your number one listener get up, get active, and get going. And that's and you'll live a long, happy life.
We've got other questions from listeners. I'll get to them in a second, but I want to throw this at you too. Since your last visit on this program, one of the things that I've gotten up to, and Tid's going to roll his eyes when I throw in the plug, but I went back to my former life working in the wrestling world, in the professional wrestling world, working with a friend of mine, and we started up a new company that's running shows. We have a show coming up in August, and I'm very excited about it. One of our wrestlers on the show, who's absolutely just jacked, right? Just absolutely jacked, did a thing on Instagram recently, like a Ask Me Anything of the fans. And one of the fans said, hey, I'm really struggling with my workout routine. I see what kind of shape you got yourself into. What's your motivation? And the response from this person was, motivation's bullshit. You either want to put in the work or you don't. And that's it. How do you respond to that? Like, do you find some people just no matter what you tell them, like, you're going to die. You can't continue this way. Some people just like, whatever. They cannot muster that motivation.
Well, yeah, I guess kind of a couple points in there. I was on a flight from Los Angeles years ago. It was about 15 years ago. And I was coming back from LA to Toronto. So it's a 5-hour flight, and I sat down, and this woman sat next to me, quite a large young lady, and she recognized me, and she asked me, she said, oh, you're Hal Johnson. Oh, my God. Oh, and, you know, oh, and she started asking me about health. You know, I want to lose weight. What can I do? You know, and so I thought, oh, well, you know, she seems, you know, really open. So I went and I talked to her about it you know, we're still taxiing and we're on the tarmac we're talking away. And I tell her, I said, well, you know, those peanuts that they're going to be serving you, you know, in about half an hour, once the plane gets in the air. Well, those peanuts have, you know, this many grams of fat in that little bag. So your day's supply of fat is already in that one little bag. And so those are the little hidden things in our daily life that you should just say, okay, yeah, I don't want, I'll pass on that. She goes, oh, wow, that's great, great. And I went on, I talked to her about other things, this and that. Flight attendant came by, coming out with the peanuts. I was at the window seat. She asked me first, would you like some peanuts and a drink? I said, no, I'll just have water, please, no peanuts. She says, oh, I'll have his peanuts and another bag for myself as well. So at that point, I said, you know what? I've got a headache. I really can't talk anymore. And basically what I was saying politely to her was, you don't get it and you're not going to get it. I you've got a class with me right here for 5 hours. I'm happy to give it. But she was not receptive to it. She was not open to it. She wasn't willing to make a move, make a change. And so I didn't want to waste the rest of that flight talking to somebody who wasn't receptive. And so she may get receptive. And it's amazing when people find Jesus. It's usually either as they're getting the heart attack, or they are, getting, or they're out of, out of surgery, and they say, you know what, I'm going to exercise. Yes, doctor, so on and so forth. And 6 months later, they're back at their regular habits. So,
it's kind of like when Meatloaf was the big vaccine hater and COVID denier, and then he's on his deathbed from COVID and goes, I'll take that vaccine now.
Right. Yeah. It's
sorry, Meat.
Yeah, it is. And I've got four shots in that arm, so I'm good. So I'm good. I'm pumping it. So, I'm not a vaccine denier. I mean, it's funny because I find it so strange. Like, if you would say, a doctor comes up to you and says, and a vast majority of the doctors say, this is really good, and this will help you. And you, the figment, the person out there would say, you know what? I don't really believe what you're saying, because, I read something on Facebook that told me this and this. And do that same logic when you get on a plane. You go, you know what? I don't think that pilot, when he or she goes, would you please fasten your seatbelts? We're going to be heading into some turbulence. And you go, you know what? I'm not sure I believe him, because I looked at the app today and it wasn't going to be very bumpy. And then your head is plastered to the ceiling. So I really, people go to school for a reason. They learn for a reason,
right?
To give us good information. So I trust the professionals. I trust people who know what they're doing. And as far as the vaccine is concerned, I'm 2 feet all in with that.
I was on a flight once with a guy who he will remain nameless, but the little icon comes up, right? The little light that says, turn off your electronics, fasten your seatbelt, all that.
Yep.
And he's staying on his laptop. He doesn't give a shit. He just keeps on going. I'm like, dude, you got to close that up. He's like, nah, it's bullshit. I'm like, no, they say it can interfere with the equipment. He goes, fuck off. It's not going to interfere with anything. I'm doing my stuff. And the flight attendant comes over, sir, can you please close the laptop? No, sir, your computer, your electronics, it can interfere with the systems. He's like, no, I saw a video on YouTube that said that's bullshit and it got debunked. So you're not stopping me from, and I'm like, I don't know this guy. Can I get another seat? I was so humiliated. And normally I'm used to the way Tid acts in public, but no, sorry. That wasn't
it. I can't afford a laptop that can go on a computer on an airplane. I can't afford one of those.
How we have a couple other questions that just came in. It says here 437-375-2000. This one is from Tony. It says, hey, Hal Johnson, huge fan of yours. I grew up with you living in Woodbridge, Ontario. Wanted to know, I never realized you were a Division I baseball player. What position did you play?
I was first base and a part-time pitcher. I had a pretty good arm, so I threw pretty hard, but I was mostly a first baseman. Couldn't run a lick, but I could hit the ball pretty well. And it was funny watching the College World Series while I was on the ship on ESPN. It was just it just brought back so many memories of, and I, if I could transport myself back to being, 21, playing ball, traveling throughout the U.S. And the world with Team Canada, it was a lot of fun. I mean, and that's why I say, treasure the time that you have, because I really, really enjoy it. It is so important to treasure the time and enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy the moment. And I think a lot of people these days aren't enjoying the moment. When they get into something that they really like, they take out their, they take out their iPhone or their Samsung. They go, oh, let me record this so I can put it on YouTube so I look like I'm having fun. as opposed to simply just enjoying the moment. You didn't see a picture on any of our social media pages of Alaska or Hawaii or anything like that. It's because I took some pictures, but it was to be in the moment. Like, it wasn't to post it. It was like, oh, I want to remember this for me, not to anybody else. So that was, I would say, to enjoy the moment. And you haven't commented on our Body Break activewear that we've just introduced.
We're going to get there. Don't worry. I love the new gear. It's fabulous.
So this was the part that I was trying to get to, and I just didn't want to know how to do it, but we're close to the end of the program here. And typically you've noticed that we have had guests on before, like Christmas Abbott has been a guest from Big Brother down there in the States.
I can't believe you're going there right now.
And there've been other guests on this show who have done this. And because of the new line of attire that you have, I was wondering if you could like either put the tag closer by just take it off.
Oh,
just go topless. I mean,
well, you are might you asking know. How
you know, what I can do? Yeah. I'll show you perhaps the original. This is the original t-shirt that we're actually putting together. This is the very first Body Break t-shirt that we wore.
I wore
in the show. And in that Body Break spot that Joanne and I were in, was that drawn with
markers, like those T-shirt markers?
Yeah, and this is our very first show that we did in Toronto, and see, that was our original T-shirt, and that I was wearing, and so that we put that up, and we put that for people to purchase. So. But not that particular one. I've got this hanging up in our gym, but we also have this particular. So I took this off for you put this. You can see this. Oh, perhaps I'll make it a little easier. There's that's our.
That looks just like you.
It's very much similar to me. But what we did is we. Put all the different activities down and kind of made it retro. It's interesting. The gentleman who that we partnered with, Good for Sunday, is who we partnered with, and it very interesting is that they were telling us, Joanne and I, and these people were in their 30s. They were telling us about what are the colors, what are the retro colors, what are the colors that people. Wore back then, and they wanted to make it retro. And Joanne and I look at each other and go, "You weren't born when this was, but I was wearing this stuff. I kind of know what I was wearing, and I'm not sure that was what I was wearing."
Right.
But you go ahead, knock yourself out. Tell me what retro is. So,
Were you a Don Johnson Miami Vice, like the white jacket, rolled up sleeves, shoes with no socks? Was that an era that you went through?
I was more in the 70s with the platform shoes and the shells for the neck. That was something.
Fuka beads or whatever they're called. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go to the club called the Generator or the Colonial in Toronto, and Disco H was my name. So at that point in time, at Disco H.
That's amazing.
I love to dance.
Why have we not ankle on those shoes?
But
like you had to have rolled an ankle on those shoes.
No, I was pretty good on those. I was about 6'7" with wearing those shoes. So,
oh my God, how have we not ever had a Hal Johnson dance party on here to see you cut a rug? That's next time.
There you go. My daughter's embarrassed whenever I do the robot. So that's
as she should be.
That's retro. People's coming back.
You know what? Retro fashions and vintage tees are so hot. I'm predicting you're just going to add an extension on that Muskoka Palace that you have. You know, it's just, here we go, baby. Just rake it in. Quickly, I want to throw this out there for you. There was another question that came in. It said, Hal Johnson, a huge fan of yours, recently I saw a list of the greatest athletes of all time. I couldn't have disagreed with this list more, that had Babe Ruth as number three. If you had to think off the top of your head, who do you rate as the greatest athlete of all time?
I would say the greatest athlete, and from an athletic perspective, from a social perspective, from a motivational perspective, from a change perspective, would be Muhammad Ali. Hockey is the number one. They did studies. Hockey is the number one from a physical athletic skill sets. You need endurance. You need strength. You need, you know, power. You need so many attributes, hand-eye coordination, to play hockey. But number two, from what you need from a physical perspective, is boxing. So boxing and hockey are the toughest sports. You have to have a multitude of different a different abilities to play that sport. So from an athletic perspective, you know, a boxer is phenomenal. And from a, you know, social perspective, there was no one greater than Muhammad Ali. And my sister actually I have a picture of my sister on Muhammad Ali's shoulders from 1966, where she and another girl were put on Muhammad Ali's shoulders when she was 8 years old, when he was up fighting against George Shivallo. And so it's quite, he's always been a hero of mine, and I think he's the greatest.
Okay, I got one more, and this is a cheap plug, but I love that this person sent this in. This is from Natalie. It says, "Hey, Donnie. Hey, Tid. Donnie, I recently purchased VIP tickets to the OTT Wrestling Show on August 14th. I will do absolutely anything if Hal Johnson makes a guest appearance."
Pay his fee.
So, Hal Johnson, we throw it out to you. August 14th, we'll be in Mississauga if you want to come watch some fun on an afternoon. It's an early night, too. You'll be in bed by 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll don some shorts and get up there and start flailing around with the boys. So
we can make that happen. Don't even play. We can make that happen. We could put you in the over 60 division with Tid.
Are the guys still walking at that point?
But, yeah. Barely.
Good. You know, good for them. Well, that's great. I'm glad she's going and to the event, and it sounds terrific. So it's
going to be a lot of fun.
You never know. I might show up.
That would be great. I'm not going to lie. That would be great. Tremendous. Hal, what do you, other than the merch and the action water, what else do you want to plug before we have to say goodnight?
I guess from a plug perspective, I'm nothing else. I'm just, sitting back, chilling. I'm doing some videos for some companies, booking some more speaking engagements across the country, and hopefully chilling around this summer. So I built another deck last 2 weeks, another deck. So I'm just, you know, kind of working away.
I wouldn't
The water available at?
Oh, it's at Circle K. You know, you go gas up, you know, and grab some water, type of thing. And you'll grab, you know, at Circle K or different, outlets when you, when you go fill up with gas. And grocery stores, so it's great. We've really had a great partnership with Action Water, and hopefully we'll continue for a long time. They're just launching it. It just launched in May in Canada, so it's brand new, and you'll see a lot more of it over the next several months to years.
That's awesome.
Will you be doing any signings?
No, I do not talk to the public at all. That's you should know that.
That's what this is for.
Ladies and gentlemen. We tried to get him to a show. We tried to get him to take his top off. We tried everything. And this guy's been on here 4 times, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think it's going to happen. So I'll send everybody their money back. I'm sorry.
Are you getting paid for that? Oh, wow.
No, just some side bets. That's all.
Huh? There you go. Okay. That's
it. All the action on DraftKings.com.
Which shot do you like better? Do you like the wide shot, or do you like the tight shot? Which one do you like better?
You're the only guest we have that comes equipped with all his own tech. Like, you're just always...
Do you want me to do a slow dissolve to it, or do you want me to... or simply... simply do it, do a wipe to do that. Which way do you like it?
Do you have a star wipe?
I got something here. I'm not sure of this one here. There we go. Wow.
That was very body break, that one.
That's right. That's amazing. That's my retro. That's my retro look.
I love it.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. Hal, last thing I'm going to ask you before we say goodnight, you called me a couple months ago and asked me because you wanted to pick my brain. When's your podcast coming, my man?
Well, you know, it's funny because it's interesting, you know, you mentioned that because I'm teetering whether I should do a podcast, you know, because whether, you know, it's just, it's so much work and I want to do something that's really fun, informative, can help some people. And I'm talking with a guy named Jeff Samet, who's on Sirius XM. I do a hit with Jeff every Thursday on his show, and we want to do something together. You know, Jeff does all the work and then I just talk. That was kind of what we're looking at doing, but I'm just not sure. It's, you know, it's a lot of work. So yeah, exactly. You've got it right there. So it's whether or not want to, as you know, it's a lot of work, you know, to do it well. And obviously you guys do a great job and you know, it's a lot of work.
It's definitely a lot of work. If we can be of any help, you know, my number, my man.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Hal Johnson, everybody. You can find him on Instagram, on socials and YouTube and everywhere else. We will link all that information up on godfathersofpodcasting.com. And it's probably going to be another 6 months to a year before he's here again. So until then, keep fit and have fun. See ya, Hal.
Bye-bye.
Hal Johnson, everybody. Tid, we got to wrap this sucker up. Any last thoughts before we say goodnight?
It's always a good time when Hal Johnson is on the show, you know? So, no, that's good enough for me. Good enough for Hal. Good enough for me.
Thank you so much, everyone. My name is Donnie Da Silva. That is Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell. On behalf of my bro, Danny O, who could not be here this week, I want to say thanks to all of you for tuning in, as always. And also thanks to our very special guest, Mr. Hal Johnson. Next week, we'll be back with another fun episode. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at godfathersofpodcasting.com. You can follow me personally at Godfather Donnie. You can follow at Notorious TID on all socials. You can follow at DannyO1010. Get us, follow us, like, subscribe, do all that shit, pump the algorithm. We'll see you next time.
Another one.
Another one.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No time. Say it again.
Oh my me, I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Fuck this shit, I'm out. All right then.
Say what?
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
What?